Shelley Drummond. It is July 29th, 1998, and I am at the Brickyard Cafe with Robert Stupar, right? Who is Croatian and is opening a restaurant with his partner. Robert, would you tell, pronounce your hometown again, Rijeka?
Rijeka.
Right? Rijeka, okay. Describe your hometown, just a little bit.
My hometown, it's placed on very, very top of the Adriatic Sea and eastern coast that belongs to Croatia. It's a big port. It's geographically, it's 1 hour down from 1 hour east from Trieste, which is also a big port on the Adriatic Sea in Italy. Has about 200,000 people population and very historical. It's beautiful and I love it.
Beautiful and you love it. What did you do when you were there?
Is that right? Turn it down.
Is it okay? Sorry. it's just because of the tape. It's important because somebody's going to have to listen to it.
There's going to be a lot of voices here.
That's okay.
Kids.
It's okay. Hello. what did you do when you were there? What were you doing?
Well, you know, I went to school. Mm-hmm. After school, I went to the army. After army, I started working at the bakery for about maybe 4 months, went back to the army, that I was drafted again, and then after that I came here.
How did you... Hi. I'll just pause it, yeah. Okay, we're back again. Right, so you started baking.
Yes.
In Croatia.
Right.
What inspired you to start baking?
It was not a matter of inspiration, I just did not have any other chance for some other kind of employment because it was like a war time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Who taught you how to bake?
Maybe two or three people, you know, you just go from bakery to bakery and you pick up a little bit in each of them. And, you know, you read books and, you know, I didn't go to school for that.
Yeah. What would you rather have done?
Well, everything, right now, everything turned out very good for me. So, you know, maybe I would go to school instead, but it was like a different time over there. And I would probably, back there, if it was peacetime, I would probably go to school, go to college.
Mm-hmm. How did you come to Bowling Green?
I applied to come here in American Embassy, and they liked it, and you know that's how I got here. And you know they have a key. They send people. They have a key. They send people all over the USA wherever they can get jobs, or they can, you know, where if they have relatives, or you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got here.
So they sent you here. So it was not a choice.
It was not a choice because I had a relative here, and I knew that he was here, and that's how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
But he got here just by accident, so.
What were you expecting Bowling Green to be like before you came?
It was very few informations that I could have got in books and stuff. I was expecting, I didn't have a clue, I was expecting Southern Town. I didn't even know a lot about Kentucky, I just knew that there's a lot of whiskey, bourbon, tobacco, and that it's kind of like, you know, that it belongs to South. And I had a feeling that it's going to be like this size of town. I didn't know nothing else. I was just, you know, I was just expecting something new and something I've never experienced before. And that's what actually happened.
Yeah. It's smaller than your hometown?
Yeah, it's probably spread out as much as my hometown, but it's probably four times less, you know, dense, populated, mm-hmm. as it is over there.
And you moved here in what year?
1994, December.
December. So you had somebody meet you here that was a family member, so that was helping you?
Yes, that was my ex-brother-in-law. I was married to a girl and we came over and it didn't work out, and after a year we split up and, you know, we're divorced and, you know, we're still friends, still talk mm-hmm. to each other. She's still here in Bombay. Mm-hmm.
So, how about like the rest of your family? Had they?
They're back home in Rijeka. My father is retired. My mom is a nurse. She's still working. My sister is living with them. She's about 30. She will be 33 this year. She's an accountant for a local company.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the first day you got here, what do you remember the most when you first got here?
What I remember the most? I remember waking up in Clay Street in Bowling Green, which is a very bad part of town. Mm-hmm. And I walked out, it was kind of cold, and I remember like the scene of that street, you know, like little houses, a lot of trash on the streets, cars, black people walking around, which was like very, you know, new for me. I've never, you know, seen like black people walking on the streets, and just the feeling of being in America, you know, that's waking up in America.
Yeah. This was your family member's house that you were in?
Yes. We were staying in my ex-brother-in-law place.
Okay. When did you get your own place?
In about 3 months.
And was it a house or an apartment?
It was an apartment on Rock Creek Drive, Green Haven Apartments. Mm-hmm. Very nice, you know, we had a pool. It was, you know, it was like a big step.
Mm-hmm. Is it a lot different from your home or?
Well, yeah, it was kind of, it was, in a way, it was like, the apartment by itself was just about the same, you know. It just, you know, I had a tennis court and I had a pool right there, so that was a big change.
Yeah. Do you miss your home?
I miss it a lot. I think about it pretty much every day.
Yeah. Could you speak English when you first got to Bowling Green?
I was taking English ever since I was, 11 or 12, and it was like, let's say, 2 hours a week, and I knew a lot of basics, I knew a lot of, you know, like, theoretical English, but I never had a chance to communicate with, you know, English or Americans, and when I came here, that was a big problem for me. You know, I understood people, but I couldn't express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot, you know. Let's say I knew 10% of what I know right now.
Right. Did it affect your ability to get a job or to get around, to buy food?
Yeah, but that's something you just have to, you know, fight with every day. You know, you just have to deal with the shame of not knowing. And, you know, it did affect, you know, my first year, or mm-hmm. first 2 years. It still affects me, you know, in some situations, even now, after 2.5 years.
What's the hardest? What are some of the worst situations?
Not understanding what people are trying to tell you, some or like not understanding when somebody talks about you over there. Two people are talking something and you think they're talking about you, and you don't know what are they saying, or you know, just the feeling of not being able to express yourself, that, you know, just very frustrating.
Do you think people were fairly tolerant about the fact that you didn't speak English as a first language when you got here, or?
Yeah, they were very tolerant. Mm-hmm. You know, they were okay. You know, most of the people are trying to talk slower to you, or you know, it was alright. It's not perfect, but it's that. I guess it's better than in some European countries where it's very, very, you know, much more. I don't know how to express it. They don't care, you know. They just want you to talk their language, you know.
Yeah. Okay. How about driving?
I did not drive.
So you had to learn to drive.
I had to learn. That was a big problem. See, in my hometown, there is no big thing or big need to learn to drive. You have bus lines every 5 minutes, you know. The only thing where when you need your car is when you're going out on Saturday night, you know, or something like that. But yeah, I came here and I had to learn to drive, you know. But I did.
How did you do that?
I don't know, it was just hard. People didn't want to, you know, help me, you know, I was just, I was hard to learn to drive. It's mostly, I don't know, I was just rushing too much, you know, I was speeding and, you know, stuff like that. Not stopping on the stop signs, you know.
Did you get pulled over?
Yeah, three times after I got the license.
Oh, that's lucky. Okay. All right, how about shopping? We talked a little bit about doing things, but like just general shopping, picking stuff up for like buying food. Or you were married, did your wife was buying the food, or did you buy food?
I was mostly buying food. Okay, I didn't understand that.
That's okay. You just tell me if you don't.
Yeah.
I have talked to people who had a hard time finding out what, like if they went to the grocery store and it would say baking soda, they were looking for baking soda, mm-hmm. but it was a different word and they couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just had a hard time finding items in the stores or picking out items.
Well, you know, I like to read a lot, and that was like no problem for me. I kind of, like I told you, I knew a lot of, I understood a lot of English, mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to talk. So I pretty much knew, you know, what is what up on the shelves, you know, except like very American products like pork and beans, or, you know, I don't know, you know, stuff like that, you know, or what kind of cookie, different kinds of cookies, but, you know, as far as bread or pasta or pork, beef, you know, those kind of easy. Plus, I like to experiment, you know, so I was just like buying all that I got my hands on.
Which were some of your favorite ones? Did you like the pork and beans?
I started to like them after I started working in a barbecue restaurant. So, you know, I was like, I really liked it.
You have to fix them up. You can't
you have
just
to fix
yeah,
them up. Yeah. You have to put like stuff in it. Yeah, I had good teachers over there. You know, good cooks, real soul food mm-hmm. cooks. You know, they taught me. I know how to barbecue good.
Where was this?
It was like a little barbecue place on bypass. Daryl's Barbecue and Bakery. And
what was the name again?
Daryl's Barbecue and Bakery.
Was this your first job that you had?
No, my first job was at El Bakers, Bread and Bagels.
Oh, the Bread and Bagels?
Yeah.
And you're baking there too?
Yeah.
Okay, when you came, and this will be Were there a lot of Bosnians or Croatians here at that time? How many?
It was like 10 families.
10 families?
I was, let's say, 10 to 11.
Okay. And right now, about how many would you assume?
It's just, there's different people say different things. Some say that it's 2,000, some say it's 1,500, some say it's 13. Let's put the middle figure, you know,
yeah.
15, 16.
So it's grown a lot since you came.
Yeah.
Did, at the time, were there, like, was there an organization where people would maybe get together?
Oh, you mean like Bosnian, like,
yeah,
community?
Yeah.
Or
maybe
something?
Have dinners or anything like that?
No, at the very first time, people, it was just 10 families, and people just used to go from, you know, one apartment to another, or they would go out on barbecue or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe after 6 or 7 months, they formed the club.
So there's a club now?
There is a Bosnian club now. But most of, probably 99% of these people are from Bosnia. I'm probably the only one from Croatia.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I came here because my wife was from Bosnia.
Oh, okay.
So I'm, you know, very, I'm not very good representative of the Bosnian community here,
right.
But I know all about them and, you know.
Yeah. Did everybody live in the same area? Or did they move all across Bowling Green?
Mostly they live, right now, I would say they live around Morganton Road, Old
mm-hmm.
Morganton Road, up on Rock Creek Drive. That's mostly, and there's a lot of people. Lately there's some families downtown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you were to go back, what would you miss the most about Bowling Green?
What would I miss about Bowling Green? I would miss people that I met here, met a lot of good friends. I would miss, I don't know, Puerto Vallarta, I would miss Baker Street, and I don't know, you know. Bowling Green is alright, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not what I want to do all my life, or I don't know, it's just hard to say.
What do you want to do?
Actually, I would like to live in Bowling Green maybe after I turn 35 or something, you know, kind of want to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, Bowling Green is just too small for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get some money and go somewhere else, and then go somewhere else again, you know, just travel around.
What would you, in terms of like Bowling Green, what would you say would be like some problems that Bowling Green has?
Problems? People are very narrow. They're very friendly, to be honest. They're very friendly and nice. But a lot of times they're very narrow. They do not understand other people's cultures. They don't have a perception of what's going on out there, and that's probably one of the biggest problems, you know. You know, problems of Bowling Green. I don't see any other problems, you know. Maybe I'm just not used to such social differences as I've seen here, but it's probably all American type of thing, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I came from, it was not communist country when I left, but you know, I grew up in a communist country. But I've noticed big social differences here, and you know, there's a lot of people, you know, hungry out on the streets, not having enough money to pay their bills. And there's, on the other side, there's like this huge population of the people, you know, with over $1 million in their checking accounts. So, but I guess that's the way America works, you know. It's made up that way, you know. It gives you better gives you motive to work hard.
You think?
I don't want to get into that, you
that's
know,
okay.
it's just my noticing of what I've seen here.
Yeah. And what would be some of the better parts of Bowling Green?
Better parts? Better parts are a lot of chances, a lot of things you can do, it's very prosperous, you know, it's growing fast. That's about it. There's a big chance in Bowling Green for everybody. If you want to work, if you have an idea, you know, it's cool.
Well, let's talk about the restaurant. You already knew how to cook. You already talked about the baking. What kinds of food were you baking? Just breads, right? Or
yeah, I'm not a professional cook. Mm-hmm. Or so far I could say that I'm pretty good baker, you know, for like 3 years of experience and without school. Yeah, I can cook mostly breads and some pastries, and that's about it, breads and pastries, you know.
And these were some that you learned from in Croatia or here?
Some in Croatia. It was mostly here. It was mostly here. I worked there only for like maybe 10 months.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever use any of the recipes that you learned over there here? Is it different?
I didn't know any recipes, but I used a lot of technology, you know, because I worked in two bakeries and they were like pretty big. Recipes are actually not hard to produce, you know, you can find a good recipe in, you know, there's a lot of books out there, it's just how to make things faster.
Oh.
And that's what I brought from home, you know, that's what I think I'm good with, you know, how to do things faster, how to produce things faster, and that's very important in baking.
Because the bread and bagel is a smaller place than where you were working at before.
Much smaller.
So here, you've got, tell us about the brick oven. Or just tell me about your restaurant.
The restaurant is mostly the replica of what my partner had back in Bosnia. His name is Jake. He had Americanized Jake. He had kind of like pizzeria over there and mostly all the brickwork is his idea from his restaurant, and the woodwork, that's very big, that's very popular theme in a lot of places over there, like wooden roofs on top of the tables. So, you know, we kind of combined those two things. It's gonna be small place, but you know, we wanted to keep it small. It's gonna be a lot of good homemade food, which is probably what Bowling Green needs these days. And we're gonna cook Italian because that's something, you know, people can recognize with here, and because it's more or less something that we, you know, grew up on over there. You know, it's Italy is like my hometown was actually part of Italy back in back before Second World War. So we have the brick oven. There's one more in Bowling Green, but our pizza's gonna be better.
Who's got the other one?
Mirage.
Oh, Mirage has a brick oven?
Yeah. What we're gonna do here, we'd like to learn people here, or we'd like to, you know, be more welcome to the people. We'd like people to hang out here, to have fun, to, you know, to come out here to see people and to be seen. We'd like this place to be like a social place, you know. We don't want to, you know, just open up a restaurant with like four turnovers in for one lunch, you know. We just want people to have fun, feel, huh? Can you pause it?
Yeah, I'm gonna pause it. All right, we're back again. Was it your partner's idea to start the restaurant, or how did...
It was mostly his idea. It was back, I think, 95. I was... he was telling me about opening a restaurant ever since he came here. You know, I was helping him with the interpreting. And...
with what?
Interpreting, you know, okay. He didn't know very much English back there, but, you know, it was just a plan, you know, and maybe after I stopped working in Daryl's, I wanted to open, like, a little business for myself, maybe a little grocery store or something like that for the Bosnian people here, you know, just anything, and then Jake... first time, like, you know, openly proposed partnership, you know, proposed me a deal. He explained me what kind of restaurant he had, you know, what kind of restaurant we can open here, and we got on it. Started looking for a location, and here we are now.
And you've got one of the older houses in Bolingbroke. This is a historic brick house.
Yeah, this, there is no exact date, one of the grandsons of the man who probably built this house says that he was born in the house 1860, and so house was probably made before 1860, and in those two rooms back there, the kitchen and the back dining room, they were the, you know, the first part of the house, and the addition was made later with the floor upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who did this house was a bricklayer of note back in 19th century. He built the Warren County Courthouse, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Bowling Green Brick and today's Bowling Green Bank and Trust building,
okay.
Which was Opera House before, I think,
mm-hmm.
and some other buildings. And he was also running a brickyard behind the house, so that's how we named the
mm-hmm.
restaurant.
And the stuff that you've done, what kinds of things did y'all do? You kept some of the rooms the same, like this woodwork is. The original?
Yes, we added on the woodwork with the you know, cedar posts,
mm-hmm.
and you know, cedar shingles on top. We had to change completely change the electricity, put it up to a commercial code. Same with plumbing, change the ceilings, completely change those two bathrooms over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, completely. All the wood was rotted, so we had to, like, you know, reframe it and, you know, re-drywall it, put tiles on. All the brickwork is new. All those arches, the brick bar, that's all new. We made that brick oven. So, a lot of work for just two guys working on it part-time. You know, we had to work here for like 7 months after our regular jobs, you know, plus all our stuff.
Mm-hmm. And these designs, the cedar roofs over the tables?
Yeah,
this is traditional? Like,
It's not traditional, it's just kind of like very in, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of places. A lot of pizzerias actually have that style over there.
And the paintings? The paintings,
that's just an idea from my friend Chris,
okay.
Christopher Licata. He did a lot of his little paintings and drawings, and there's a beautiful mural over there in the
mm-hmm.
bar area. He did help us with, you know, some decorating ideas, some interior decorating.
And the front.
Front.
What do you call that?
That's like a canopy. I don't even know how to call it. Actually, it was Chris's idea.
Uh-huh.
He he was telling us about awning that we'll probably need to put up.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose to use that, you know. It was kind of, the awnings are very expensive, and here all we have to pay for is, you know, our labor and some, mm-hmm. and the wood posts and all the woodwork is, you know, we got that from the farms, so it was kind of cheap.
Okay. What kind of food, or you've talked about the fact that you'll be serving Italian food, but you'll also be serving like Bosnian food too?
We might have a dish or two, you know, just to let people know that we are from Bosnia, and we're not, maybe it will be more with the time, you know, but for start we'll just keep it down to one or two dishes.
Mm-hmm. Will you ever have special dinners for Bosnian?
Yeah,
like a,
you know,
special night, or
if we don't have a concept yet. If somebody wants to celebrate the marriage here, you know, yeah, it's all right, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. I guess place is too very small, you know, so. But you know, if Bosnian club wants to have a meeting, you know, if they want to meet together.
Mm-hmm.
More than welcome.
Do you eat Bosnian food now or Croatian food?
Yeah.
For you? Do you eat Croatian?
Yeah.
Are they different?
It's,
how are they different? I know it's hard.
Yeah. You see, it's like there is no specific or, you know, Bosnian or Croatian food. It depends on the region where you're from. Our countries were always being influenced or being, you know, under some other big European or country, like my part of Croatia or part of Bosnia where Jake's wife is from was always close to Italy, and there's a lot of Italian food over there. Up north you would probably find a lot of Austrian or German mm-hmm. stuff. In Bosnia you would probably find a lot of Oriental or Turkish food, you know. And then after the World War II, after we, you know, all became Yugoslavia, all those foods started to mix together, blend, so, you know, there is no typical dishes, you know. But that's what it is.
Okay. So now in Bowling Green, what do you choose to eat? If you make food, what do you make?
Okay, now, right now, I make pasta, rice, risotto, that's Italian, rice. I make brodetto, which is like fish soup in fish stew in wine. A lot of times I go eat with Jake in his house because it's, you know, much easier for him to cook for all of us or for his wife, and she cooks a lot of Bosnian food. We cook out a lot, you know, like shish kebabs or little meat rolls, which will be probably very famous if we start cooking here. They're like hamburger beef rolled in like a little roll and then grilled and served with pita bread, which is called different in Bosnia. You know, that's pretty much about it.
So the ingredients to make the stuff that you're gonna make, it's pretty easy to get it?
Some of them, I wouldn't say that it is, not in the same quality as you would find at home,
uh-huh.
you know, especially smoked meats that we want to serve here as an appetizer, like prosciutto or prosciutto as we call it, or
what is
that? I wouldn't say it's smoked, I would say that it's cured and dried Italian ham.
Okay.
Or capicciola, that's type of one more type of meat, Italian meat, or you know, mostly, you know, sauce, some kind of sausages or good cheeses, That's hard to find. Basic ingredients, you know, you can find them here also, like rice, flour, oil.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna. Right, we're on side two now. So, to get the ingredients, how do you think you're going to get them?
I already started calling local food distributing companies. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of stuff that we will need. They are kind of expensive. There is one store up in Louisville, Lots of Pasta. We'll have to stop by over there. There are some Bosnian grocery stores in St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, you know, for good stuff, you know, we might be, you know, forced to go up there and, you know, maybe have that stuff sent down here. That's a good question. It's gonna be kind of hard.
How do people that are living here now get a hold of stuff that they want for like a wedding or?
Yeah, well, there's a new store, which you probably know about it, Golden Key. Mm-hmm. You can buy some stuff here. A lot of people are just trying to forget who they ate over there, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to adjust to, you know, whatever they have here. Mm-hmm. And which is probably the easiest way, you know. If you can get it, you just, you know, buy something else.
Right. You're gonna have music here, right?
We are thinking about it. We're thinking about having somebody playing guitar, mm-hmm. or something like that. You know, I don't have a concept yet, but we probably will have somebody once a week or twice a week.
Will it be somebody from Bowling Green or somebody who's Bosnian? Do they have any musicians, Bosnian musicians that play?
There's a couple of them, but, you know, I would rather have somebody from Bowling Green.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of guys that I really like.
Uh-huh. But there are a couple of Bosnian musicians here?
Yeah. There are, I know for one, you know, he was a music teacher, and, you know, and there is a couple of them, but they mostly play type of music that we wouldn't like to have here, you know, mm-hmm. like kind of like folk, country, Bosnian mm-hmm. music. So, you know, we want something softer, more mellow, more, you know.
What was it? It was Sindalica, is that the name?
Sindalinka. Yes, that's Sevdah means song. Mm-hmm. On Turkish, and that's I would probably the closest thing to American music is blues. It's very, you know, the songs are very sad, emotional, mm-hmm. passionate, and it's kind of hard to find them these days lately. You know, everybody's singing more, you know, faster stuff.
And so the musicians that that are here in Bowling Green, they sing like that, or
no, they sing like I would say that they sing like country music, Bosnian country music. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. Do you celebrate any festivals or holidays? Are you gonna celebrate any festivals or holidays in the restaurant?
Like, you mean Bosnian?
Yeah, or Croatian. I guess Bosnian, yeah. Since most people.
Yeah. Pretty much all the Croatian or Bosnian festivals that we are gonna celebrate here are probably the same as the American. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmas, Easter. You know, holidays like that. There is one holiday big in Bosnia, 1st of May, which is International Labor Day. A lot of people over there take off, do not work, you know, get together, strike, you know. And there's a lot of our Muslim friends, and they all celebrate Bayram, which is something like Muslim Christmas, you know. We might celebrate that. I don't know. That's about it. New Year is probably bigger in Bosnia than Christmas.
It's
more festive and more fun.
Do people celebrate the Bayram? I'll have you spell it before.
Bayram?
Yeah. Do they celebrate it here now in Hungary?
Yeah.
Where do they normally go? Do they normally go to a club, or do they have a club?
No, they celebrate mostly at homes.
In the homes?
Yeah.
So it's not a big community party, it's just a...
No, maybe like two or three families, but that's the biggest, you know. Probably the Bosnians would be, you know, more qualified to talk about that.
Yeah. How about weddings?
Weddings? There was a couple of weddings, you know, I haven't attended, you know, any one of them. You know, they do get together and they have like little celebrations. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't really say.
Okay. Okay. So how do you think your restaurant's gonna actually serve the community? I mean, obviously we've been talking about that, but what would you like to see happen as far as the fact that you're gonna be a Croatian Bosnian restaurant? Mm-hmm. And that you're in Bowling Green.
Well, we just want to add new value here. We want people to learn about us, to learn about Bosnians. We want to, you know, maybe they have some kind of prejudice about us. You know, a lot of people don't even know that there is almost 2,000 Bosnians here in town. We want, you know, and we want to help a lot of Bosnians, you know. We are probably going to influence people to, you know, find jobs easier, you know, because people who have companies here are going to be like, oh, you're from Bosnia, yeah, I ate the other day in that restaurant, it was really good, you know. So that can probably be our biggest role in community.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything you wish you could do in your restaurant that you're not gonna,
You know, a restaurant is made to make money after all, but I would like to do a lot of dishes that my mom used to cook, and I'm probably not gonna be able because they're very hard to make, very, you know, particular. I could be able, but people here are not used to sit in a restaurant and wait for food for like an hour or hour and a half, which is not back home. So that's one of the frustrating things, you know. We'll have to be fast, you know. We'll have to, you know, just pick items and menu that is just fast, you know. Go for the quality, not for the, you know, quantity, not for the good stuff.
Did you learn to cook from your mother when you were there? Much? You did?
Yeah.
So she taught you how to cook?
Yeah, a lot of things.
And you write her now? And
I call her every now and then. She called me recently.
To get the and then you can get the recipes from her, or these other ones that you've already...
She's gonna send me some recipes, yeah. Actually, her sisters, I have to say that, are better cooks than she is. She's got like 5 sisters and they all cook like...
And what kind of dishes are those?
Those are mostly dishes that are also pretty big on north of Italy, which is pretty unknown in USA because all the immigrants are from down south, and up north there's like famous dishes, gnocchi, which are like potato dumplings, potato pasta, polenta, which is cooked corn with different sauces and stuff like that, or risotto, that's Northern Italian cooking, which is like a creamy rice with all different kinds of ingredients, you know, you can put whatever you want to, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Do you have any special stories about living in Bowling Green that you want to share, or anything that...
I don't know, special stories. There's one thing, getting to know Sam, like my friend from the bakery. He's a president of Flying Dragons Motorcycle Club. And they're all mostly black, but that's not a big deal. They're just, you know, when I first got there, it was like the feeling of being in the motorcycle club, you know. Bikes over there, it was kind of rough. Somebody shot the gun. And Sam was like, it's all cool, man, you know. People were screaming, laying down on the floors, you know. And I was like, they're the only, you know, foreigner in a club. And Sam is a very good friend of mine. Yeah, Flying Dragons, man, that's probably one of the most exciting moments I had here. Almost got shot. You don't have to put that in a brochure.
Okay, we won't.
Sam's not going to be happy.
How about, I know there was a war going on, but what was it that made you want to come here specifically? Was it just the war? Was there something in your life that was going on that made you really want to come to the United States?
Actually, I was probably after school and after the army, I was just looking for a place where I can go. I really just wanted to leave the Croatia, you know. It was mostly feeling of not having idea what's gonna happen tomorrow, you know, not being able to get a job, or I had a job, but it was like very hard night job for, you know, not a whole lot of money, and I had a chance to come over, and I didn't even think, you know, like 5 minutes, you know, I got the chance, and in about five minutes I knew what I need to do. It was kind of a hard decision, but I think I did right.
Yeah. So in the future, your children or your grandchildren may be listening to this. What would you tell them? What would you want them to know about your country, about your move here? Or?
Well, I would just, you know, I think that I would just let them know about all the good things about our country. I would like to research, I'd like to take them over there once, get them to know people and, you know, and the customs, and I would just like to, you know, my kids to be open-minded, you know, and not closed for any kind of culture or language or race or, you know, or opinion. I gotta make some pizza.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay, well, we'll stop the interview so that you can make your you can make the pizza, the yelling for your pizza.
Are you done, or are you on?
Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Maybe some other time. Do you talk more?
We can meet each other once in Baker Street, and then, you know, just do something in addition really fast.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.